to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the second hour of tonight's live radio broadcast. This is the Political Cesspool radio program, and I am your host, James Edwards, coming to you live tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting via AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. thepoliticalcesspool.org. I want to thank Keith Alexander for his service this evening. And now joining me in the broadcast studio, none other than another one of our great co-hosts, Winston Smith. Winston, how's it going?
It's going just fine, James. I'm sitting here looking at some news headlines, and one of them says, White House calls out Iran for refusal to allow rally. I mean, where was the White House when Amran was not allowed by a government official to hold a peaceful meeting of white guys in suits? You know, where's the consistency here?
Well, Winston, that is a great – and as we said, we are foregoing any guests tonight because we have so many different stories and items that have piled up on our news desk, and we got to sort through some of this stuff. So tonight we're kind of like having a colonoscopy, we're kind of just cleaning out the system, and we're going to regroup and get back. But we've had so many great guests. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But you bring up a great news story here. Where was the White House when this sort of suppression of free speech and free assembly was taking place in America, and it was being perpetrated by the American media and, of course, that thug pro tem mayor of Charlotte? And I tell you, Winston, I know you and I were talking about this earlier today. Folks, if you have not yet seen the video parody that we've posted to the Political Cesspool's website entitled Operation American Renaissance, you got to check it out. Now, I must offer this disclaimer. The video contains extremely graphic and foul language. It's not suitable for children or any adults that have any morals whatsoever. But if you want to find out how the game is played, and I can tell you from having dealt with the worst that the left has to offer over the course of the political cesspool's history, this brilliant video that we have, it's the top news story on our blog right now, thepoliticalcesspool.org. This video is a very accurate portrayal of the mindset of those who oppose us. It truly brings into sharp focus the way our opposition conducts itself. They have no honor. They have no integrity. They're hypocrites. They employ double standards at every turn, and they will stop at nothing in their attempts to violate the basic civil rights of European Americans. And as we mentioned in the first hour, all we really want, all this show is here to do, is to battle in the court of public opinion in an effort to instill equal rights for all Americans, including conservative whites. And so, Winston, though, I know you enjoyed this video as much as I did.
Oh, it was an absolute riot. It was a hoot. And I think the general consensus is the gentleman who made it did so after about 20 cups of coffee at like 3 a.m.
That coffee must have been laced with something a little stronger.
Oh, it was riot. So I wish a lot of us in this movement could summon up and perk up that kind of a vigor, shall we say. But James, I got to read to you what the White House is saying about Iran not allowing this rally to take place. This is truly hilarious here. A senior White House official on Saturday criticized Iran's refusal to let opponents of the regime hold a rally in support of Arab uprising. And National Security Advisor Tom Donilon said this: by announcing that they will not allow opposition protests, the Iranian government has declared illegal for Iranians what it claimed was noble for Egyptians. We call on the government of Iran to allow the Iranian people the universal right to peacefully assemble, demonstrate, and communicate that's being exercised in Cairo.
You know, I got to admit, in front of you, Winston, and all of our fans, I have not yet seen this article. The news that you're giving me right now, I'm getting it first. This is my first time to hear this. You've got to email that story to me when we get home tonight. You've got to email me this story. The double standard could not be more egregious.
It's hilarious. You folks, you got to read this. Just go to Yahoo's homepage and look up the headline. White House calls on Iran to allow rally. Oh boy.
Exactly. And there's no doubt that. I mean, obviously, government officials had to have heard about the blatant violation of the most basic civil rights that took place in Charlotte. And I don't want to beat a dead horse. We've been talking about what happened with Ameren for the last couple of weeks, and it's starting to get a little stale in and of itself. But the bigger issue at hand here, the fact that we have a government now and a media that selectively chooses which laws to enforce and to whom these laws apply, that is something that is very, very serious. And again, if you go to this video that we've been talking about, this Operation American Renaissance, this parody, you really get the scoop. And I mentioned it in my comments on the article. Most of the people who listen to this radio program are ladies and gentlemen. They are good, upstanding Christian people. They expect a fair debate, and they expect for both sides to play by the rules. Well, the radical left, these Marxist thugs that are out to destroy the Constitution, out to destroy law and order, they always engage in gutter politics. They're out to win by any means necessary. And you should not mimic their tactics, because to do so, you would land yourself in jail. But you should know what to expect when entering to the modern-day political arena, as I write. American Renaissance can serve as a teachable moment. And this video, this parody, and I say it's a parody, it is so true to fact that it's almost as if you were a fly on the wall and this was a legitimate video, but it is in fact a parody. But I think it really encapsulates everything that they do and the way that they think and the way that they operate. It really prepares you for what you're going to face if you follow our lead and join us in the fight to put America first. You will be subjected to childish name calling, baseless character assassination. However, as we've always said, and this is one of our catchphrases here at the cesspool, the defamation that we must endure pales in comparison to the sacrifice of blood and bone that our ancestors gave in order to win us the very freedoms that are now being stripped away. The days are wicked. The righteous are few. We want you to join with us and support us. Winston, you got 30 seconds. We'll wrap it up on this video, and we got to move into other pastures.
Okay. Well, if the gentleman who made this this parody video, if he just put on a mask that looked like a schnauzer dog, it would sound just like Mark Potok, really. you wouldn't know the difference.
It's a great portrayal.
Gray, ash-looking, you know, bedhead-looking sort of dog, and just yapping away. That's Mark Potok, and that's what this video is. It's like reading the SPLC playbook.
Well, he did it. I mean, this guy is a genius, very brilliant parody. Got to take a break, folks. If you haven't seen the video yet, it's front news. It's top story at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be back.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We made mention earlier in the show that the political cesspool has been off to an absolutely blistering start 2011. If you'll remember, just after Christmas, we polled our listening audience. It had a huge response, hundreds and hundreds of emails and blog comment entries. And we were asking our fans, which of our former guests would you most like to hear from during the opening days of 2011? You spoke, we listened. We barely a month into the new year, and we've already deposited into our broadcast archives all new interviews with over a dozen of the battle-tested leaders that you would expect to hear in our weekly radio showcased. If you've been tuning in each week, you know just exactly who has been interviewed so far. If you have not been tuning in religiously, then you need to go to our broadcast archives and check them out one by one. We're excited about it, but tonight we're going to be, as I mentioned, going to those in the Political Cesspool online chat. We're going to be getting some ideas from them. We're going to be taking some calls, kind of have an open mic night tonight. No guests tonight. We've got some great guests already lined up for next week's show and on into the rest of February and early March. But tonight, Winston, we've had so many guests. We're just taking a little time to ourselves and for the fans, and sometimes it's fun to do that too.
Oh, indeed it is, James. I mean, I say it frequently. You know this. You can't be gladiatorial all the time. And besides, you know, I am convinced that as sterling and sparkling as our guests are, our listeners enjoy listening to us because we're not polished like Jared Taylor. We're not media savvy as Pat Buchanan or someone like that. We're just ordinary guys who happen to have a passion for our country and for our people, and we want to see the best things preserved. And right now we are facing a well-funded, well-organized, and frighteningly hateful opposition. And folks, we ask you to please consider supporting us financially. Just a small donation, it all adds up. But we're just people like you, trying to do what we can in any small way we can. We appreciate the fact that that you people listen to us, you support us. And James, I got an email the other day where someone wanted to know where I had been for the past few weeks and said, you know, we can't wait for the imminent return of the incomparable Winston Smith. And it's kind of made me blush, but you know, these people, they like us, they love us, and we love them too.
We have the most engaging listening audience or fan base in the world. And I've said that time and time again, and they're so perceptive of what goes on during the show, on the website, behind the scenes. You can't slip anything past them. They notice these things. You know, we have a stable of co-hosts here, Winston Smith, Bill Rowland, Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller. They all helped me get this show produced and broadcast each and every Saturday night, just like clockwork. And, you know, since we do have kind of a rotating roster there, Keith's normally on every night. Bill, Winston, and Eddie come on intermittently, and really no set schedule. We just talk amongst each other and see who's available and what we want to cover each week. And if there's a week where, you know, a couple of weeks, Winston will be on a few weeks in a row, and then he'll be off a couple of weeks. People notice that. You know, the listeners notice everything, and it's very great to be able to share such an intimate relationship with the people that we're out here fighting for. It makes our work all the more enjoyable.
It does, James. And our audience, what a warm bunch of people. You know, when I had the heart attack last year, the outpouring of sympathy and words of encouragement, and it was really touching. And I still go over those emails occasionally, folks. I appreciate it. The comments on the blog from the best of the best. You know, Courtney, Miss Courtney there in Alabama, always a pleasure to hear from her. And everybody else who posts on the blog, what can we say, James? We have the best audience in the world. I'm so proud to be associated with them. If there's one thing that I dislike about being a Political Cesspool co-host, it's the people with whom we have to deal. I mean, we're dealing with scum like Morris Dees and Mark Potok and Abe Foxman. We're dealing with the worst of the worst. And just saying those names makes me feel like I have to take a shower and rip my mouth out with old-style Listerine. But then I go to our blog and I look at our guest list, and I feel like I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, and I'm standing side by side with well-trained, well-armed, committed warriors to the cause. It's just a real pleasure. The people with whom we deal that I like are far more inspirational and far more – they make being a Political Cesspool co-host worth it. They outweigh anything that the scumbags on the left can dish out.
Well, you look at this program, and it really is the sum of all of its parts, because it is a genuine grassroots movement. We came into all this 7 years ago now as volunteers, and you look at the worldwide media publicity that this show has garnered. You got to consider the fact that a great argument could be made that there is an aura of celebrity that surrounds this show now. And if we are ever judged by the tenacity of our listenership, if we're ever judged by the friends that we keep and the enemies that we have, people who dislike us because this is a Christian program, because this is a show that wants to defend the American experiment as envisioned by our founding fathers. Well, you know, we want those people to be our enemies. We want people that hate everything that this country once stood for to not be our associates. And that's not to say that we don't want to win them over to our side and we don't want to have converts, but you can't please everybody. And unfortunately, that's what too many people in politics try to do. We don't do that. We are here to serve our people, and I think we do it better than anyone, if I do say so myself. And we mentioned that this is going to be a open mic program tonight, to the extent that it can be on this show, because we always like to talk a lot. But we have a caller on the line right now, Rich from Ohio, I believe he was. Rich, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. What can we do for you?
Hello, Rich. Just wanted to say that up here, I'm up in Ohio, and I've been in a movement since I've been very young. I've been through busing. I had race riots at my school that I went through. I watched the Black Panthers up here in Cleveland. I watched them kill policemen. I watch now, we have a black nationalist flag that's on City Hall in Cleveland, believe it or not.
You're kidding.
Even after
Michael Smith has been kicked out of office?
Right. Well, every February, Black History Month, they put black nationalist flag up. They call it Marcus Garvey flag, but it's a black nationalist flag. It was the very flag that,
right,
during the race riots up in Cleveland, during the Glenville riots, during the Huff riots, that they had guns that were supplied by a guy named Carl Stokes, who collected money for Cleveland Now, who was supposed to be using that money to help the city. He ended up giving the money to the Black Panthers, who under that flag mm-hmm. actually shot white policemen. And now, ironically, their employer is now putting a black nationalist flag on the very city hall that employs those policemen.
Well, I'm sure in the spirit of tolerance and diversity and equality, surely they also fly the St. Andrew's cross during Confederate History Month, right?
I called City Hall and I told the secretary, I said, I want that flag taken down. And she explained to me that was a black unity flag. And I said, well, I got a Southern unity flag I'd like to fly on top of that City Hall. And she said, what do you mean Southern unity? I said, how about a Confederate flag? She said, oh, that's a racist flag. I said, that's Southern unity.
You see what we got to put up with, folks? You see the kind of doubles, you know, and you have to laugh at it. You have to laugh at it because it's just such a joke. I mean, the fact that they can employ such double standards and expect it to just be accepted is comical if it weren't so disturbing. We've got to take a break. Everybody stay tuned.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Having a lot of fun tonight. I said it at the top of the show. I don't know what's going on, but it's like we're having a frat party here at WLRM Studios this evening. Just everybody's in a good mood and... Winston, can you explain it? I'm trying to figure out why everyone's so happy tonight.
Well, I don't know about everybody else, but for me, it's because I'm losing weight and I'm blowing it right now because I have a really nice glass of whiskey with me. But
he's joking, everybody. Everybody at the FCC, he's joking. Okay.
I feel good. I just feel good tonight.
It's just one of those nights. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. Maybe it's because it's like a nice warm spring day here in Memphis, even though it's the middle of February. We're digging out of a lot of snow. Do we still have Rich on the phone?
Yes,
we do.
Okay, Rich, by all means, we ran into that commercial break. Make your point, and we're just clowns in your circus right now.
Well, I think we were talking about that whites need to assert themselves today more in our society. I think we both agreed on the fact that during the 60s, the whites gave up their racial identity. There's nothing wrong with believing that we have a right to survive as a people, mm-hmm. and we should assert that and be more forward in society. If you don't assert those rights, we're going to lose them. And I think that we have to be honest with ourselves. I had a friend across the street from me, and he was telling me that he wasn't a racist. And I asked him, I said, and I had people say that I was a racist. I didn't have a problem with it because I said, hey, everybody's proud of who they are. And I said, I have a right be proud of who I am. And I says, everybody has a bias. I says, you go to the store, you buy Tide. You never had the other product. Why did you buy Tide? Because you had a preference towards it. I have a preference towards my people. I have a preference towards my grandchildren looking like me. Okay, that's my preference, mm-hmm. and I have a right to that preference.
And well, Rich, was your friend white?
Yeah, he's a Christian, and he told me, he says, well, I'm not a racist. I asked him, I said, well, I says, you see your daughter there? He said, yeah. I says, do you want her dating that little black kid next door? And he goes, no, I don't believe in that. I says, well, you're racist.
Oh. Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with you know, wanting your kids to marry others of the same culture. It's certainly, you know, mm-hmm. would anyone in the world say deem it to be racist if the black family said, you know, I would prefer, you know, my son or my daughter to marry someone who shares their history and heritage and so on and so forth. Of course not. And that is what really, if you really break it down to the lowest common denominator, that is what this radio program is all about. And thank you so much for the call, Rich. We really appreciate it.
That's what
this show is about. We are the only show on the mainstream radio airwaves that will point out this absurdity. It is not racist by the classical definition for whites to celebrate that which makes them unique, no more than it's racist, quote unquote, for any other minority group or ethnic group to do the same. And you know, people always talk about how blacks are a minority. Well, they maybe are in this country for now, but whites, as Keith Alexander mentioned in the first hour, only make up 9% of the world's population. We are a very small minority in terms of our percentage of the world's population. Only here in America, and it's falling fast, are we a numerical majority. But the bottom line is this. It is not racist for whites to seek to share the company of others who are like them. And this is something, Winston, that we talk about over and over and over again. The modern day definition of racist is, in fact, a white person. That's what my book is all about, because you see this word thrown around like confetti, and it really is just a shut up word. It's a Marxist construct to get people to stifle debate. And we're not going to put up with it. And we say these things that somehow it's become shocking to hear people say, you know, yeah, I would prefer that my daughter build a family with someone who shares similar values. But would it be so shocking if someone of a darker complexion said the same thing? I don't know why we're the only show in the world that can mention these truths. Winston, can you make any sense of it?
No, but I asked Rich if his neighbor was white, and he said yes. And I was gonna tell him, well, you know, he is. If he's white, then he is considered a racist. And we know that because I know it because I read Racism Spaces by James Edwards. Order your copy today at www.dppoliticalcesspool.org. $19.95 for shipping and handling. That's what I was going to say. But you
there he got it in, folks. A show couldn't pass without him doing it. Hopefully you got all that.
But James, Rich and I were talking during the break, and he told me what he said over the air, that that whites gave up their identity back in the 1960s. That's probably an accurate an accurate assessment of when it began happening. And I told him that what we need to do is we need to start not asking for our rights, not asking for our freedom of speech, not asking for any of these things that, that everybody else gets. We should just behave like they are our rights. And if somebody wants to press a claim that, that we do not have those rights, well, let them press the claim. We don't need to beg for freedom of speech. We don't need to beg or request the rights to exist and to prosper. We have those rights. Nobody can take those away from us. They can huff and puff. But I think, James, when it comes right down to it, I would like to see, shall we say, the ideological cojones, shall we say, of somebody to say, well, no, you don't have the right to exist. You don't have the right to exercise this freedom of speech. And let them send some armed policemen to shut down anything that we try to do. If Jared Taylor wants to have his AMRIN conference, he should just have it out in the open. Find someplace that's friendly. Find a church or something like that that's in agreement, and have the meeting. Have the meeting, and authorities be damned. We have these rights, and we need to just start behaving like we have these rights. We do have these rights. It's not even a question. It is not a question. It's only a question because we allow it to be a question. And if somebody wants to say, white people, you can't meet, you say, stop us. I dare you.
Well, you know, again, you're talking about, and I hate to keep going back to this, and I know we have talked about this quite a bit over the course of the last few weeks, but you're talking about, in the case of American Renaissance, you're talking about a law-abiding organization with law-abiding businessmen and scholars as its conferees coming together to exercise their freedom of speech, to peaceably assemble, to rent a hotel room, have their legally binding contracts honored, and that can no longer be expected. And that is a violation of civil rights if there ever was one. And this is what conservative European Americans are forced to endure now. It's getting beyond the point. We all know we're going to be called a bunch of silly names, a bunch of names that are inapplicable. But now they're moving the lines a little bit further. Now they're getting away with thought suppression and really, I think, breaking laws just outright in terms of not allowing people to rent a room and so on and so forth. But let's see. We got to go back to the phones here very quickly. Winston, Rocky in Florida has been waiting patiently. Rocky, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Rocky from Florida. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, Rocky. That's good. Hey, just wanted to call in for the first time. I've been listening to your show for about, believe it or not, 6 years now. And it's my first time calling in.
How many years was that?
Anyways, back to a topic you were talking about earlier today. I know this is slightly unimportant. You were talking about your abscess tooth. It's funny. I still have some of my baby tooth that's still there. Can you believe that?
Baby tooth, huh?
Yeah. Another thing was I was listening to one of your episodes a while ago, and you were celebrating your birthday, and I think we can both agree, you know, none of us are old yet because in one of your other episodes, we were talking about Otis Mathis, was a young man despite being 55 years old.
Well, as I said, Winston, nothing.
I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Nothing passes by those who listen to the program. I mentioned an abscess tooth in passing; it gets picked up. My birthdays, they remember. This is why this show is the best, because we got the best listeners. And we're about to come up on a break. Anything else you want to add, Rocky? I do appreciate the call.
Right. Just wanted to call in for the first time.
Thanks so much,
thank you,
my
Rocky.
Friend.
Thanks
we hope it won't be the last.
Along. You too. Take care.
Rocky. Hey, Rocky, you still there? I was going to ask
Rocky
what part of Florida he lives, because I'm in Florida all the time. I love Florida. Got a lot of listeners in Florida. We get more donations from Florida than we do from any other state, including Tennessee, where we're based. Can you believe it? That's a fact. That's a little-known cesspool fact. Behind-the-scenes stuff right there. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Political cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Check Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Having a lot of fun tonight. Taking some calls. We're playing it loose. Normally, we come into the studio here in Memphis wearing tuxedos. You know, we're looking like James Bond. But tonight, we're in jogging pants and a t-shirt. And it's just a laid-back atmosphere tonight, and we're enjoying it. And we always enjoy time spent with our listening audience, and especially those in the Political Cesspool fan party, the online chat at CFCC. org. And we got another caller on the line right now. We've been bouncing around the country tonight, taking calls from our listeners in Ohio and Florida, and now we're going over to Arkansas. We're making a big triangle here. Tim in Arkansas, you're on the line.
Thank you. How are you today?
Hey, great. Yeah, always good to hear from you, my friend.
Well, yeah, listen, I was watching that video of that gentleman parroting the STLC canceling the AMRIT.
Yeah, we just got to make sure we don't use any of his language on the air.
Well, you know, I won't. But, you know, if we had five guys like that, we could have a comedy troupe and have our own version of Saturday Night Live.
There you go.
You think they'd get on NBC? I don't think so. They'd probably, you talk about something being banned, they'd ban that right away.
He is, of course, referring to, ladies and gentlemen, the video, the parody Operation AMRIN. It's the top item on our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Tim, what'd you think of it?
It was brilliant. I mean, it really was. It was that good. I mean, it was professional quality. I mean, I don't know who the guy is, but it sounds to me like he's, you know, at least probably belonged to a comedy troupe or something somewhere along the line. And I tell you, you know, you've mentioned that, you know, with the videos and stuff. We need people like that. I mean, you need people that are that gifted and that acerbic, because the power in that is really incredible. And, I mean, we can sit there and talk about how evil these people are and what they do behind the scenes all the time. But when somebody gets on and does something like that, it is incredibly powerful. It is, it's just eye-opening. You know what I mean?
Well, it is. And we've got to get the message out there by all available venues. You know, we're very blessed and fortunate to have a radio program, a mainstream radio show that we can use. And we're reaching a lot of people in all of the cities that carry our program on the airwaves. And then, of course, via the internet, we're all around the world. We've got a website if people want to read it. Videos are very strong, particularly when you've got people that can play the part so well as this guy obviously did. And another thing that he did, of course, this is a parody. He encapsulated everything that they do. If they were to play themselves, they could do no better than this guy did.
That's what I was thinking.
We had Bob Whitaker on the show last week. Yeah, I was just going to say very quickly, we had Bob Whitaker on the show last week, and Bob Whitaker also was one of the first guests to ever appear on the Political Cesspool back in 2004. And Bob was one of the few people that actually came into Memphis to do the interview rather than doing it on the phone like most people do. He wanted to do it in studio, so he came to Memphis and had a real good time with Bob here. And one of the things he kept harping on, and I believe it to be true, is that these people, our enemies, they really see themselves through an elitist lens. They really believe that they are far superior in intellect than those of us who believe in God and country and family and this, that, and the other. And they hate to be mocked. They hate to be ridiculed. They hate to be laughed at. Laughter is still a very powerful weapon. And we've tried to put a couple of blog entries. We had the one about the space program last week, and then this one this week. They hate
it. That was pretty funny. I saw that one.
And it's effective. It's effective.
The black space program. Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that. That was pretty well done too. I don't know who did it, but that was edited well, and it was humorous.
Well, it is, and if you laugh at it, and doing the laughter, if you do it in such a mocking way that really drives your hammer, drives your point home.
Yeah, it really does.
It brings more people over because it's just something. It doesn't seem.
Well, it points up the absurdity of multiculturalism.
Well, it does that very effectively, but it also defangs our ideas. You know, our ideas have been labeled as radioactive, but if you can relate to people and people can relate to you through laughter, they see that, you know, obviously they see us for what we truly are. And that's just everyday Americans wanting a better way of life for our people. And we want to return to the to the things that made America great. We want to reclaim America's destiny. But anyway, these are posts that are on the site, and I don't want to keep talking, Tim. I want to let you get your points across. But I want to make
one more point. That fellow Rich from Ohio was on there talking about the policeman getting shot.
Right.
And that, you know, there was a rash of that. Just a couple of weeks ago. Police being shot. I mean, throughout the country, just, you know, in different areas. And so I don't think this is anything that's an accident. I think it's planned.
We put that up. You know, I think there was 1 week earlier in February, maybe it was late January, something like, what was it, you know, 8, 10, 12 police officers killed by a quote-unquote minorities, and that was just in a week, 12 police officers. You know, that's really, I say, you know, incredible, but not in a good way.
No, of course not. Of course, the reality of that is that those policemen hopefully will be on our side if the balloon ever goes up.
Well, you would hope.
I don't know about that. I mean, if you're in Dallas, at least, if you're a cop killer and if you're black, you get a police escort to your funeral.
Well, that's true. That's really sick too, but, you can point that up you can point those things up all day long, but you've got to know that underneath all of this, all of the rhetoric and all of the hyperbole and all of the flowers and traits that they put up, that those guys are seething.
You would certainly think that, and I know personally that we have a lot of support from officers on the Memphis PD here. You would think that particularly those in law enforcement, they're on the front lines. They don't live in the gated communities. They don't shield themselves from all of the wonders of diversity like the proponents of multiculturalism do. You would think that if push did come to shove, and hopefully, God forbid, we ever be in a situation like that they're having in Egypt now, hopefully we'll be able to reform this system through the ballot box. But if we're denied that opportunity everything goes to pot, you would hope that the police officers who have lived their lives on the front lines would be honest enough with themselves to see things the way they are, and not the way that the media would tell them they are.
Yeah, it's really funny. I'll say one more thing, and then I'll get off. You know, I'm always amazed at people who are basically like us and have our same interests. I was talking to a fella today, worked at a counter at a gun shop, and we got to talking politics and small change, you know. And he goes, "Well, you know," he says, "you know who I think is probably a pretty good fella?" And he said, "That's old Huckabee." Oh my god!
Oh my gosh!
Oh my god! Well, I scribbled your website down on a sheet of paper and gave it to him and told him to get on there, along with the Ameren website. I said, "Well, you know, here, you take this and get in light." And then I told him about, Huckabee bringing the Mexican consulate here to Little Rock, and just told him, I said, "Look," I said, "he talks a good game, but," I said, "he's, you know, he's not on your side, believe me."
Oh, you said Huckabee. I thought you said buckwheat.
No, Huckabee. Well, you got it right, though. Buckwheat. I mean, he's a...
I was trying to make the connection between the little rascals and that, but okay, Huckabee, that makes a little more sense. And thanks for spreading the word anyway.
Huckabee.
Yeah, I can't wait to see who the Republicans nominate. And by the way, that brings us, we're coming up to the end of the hour. We're going to talk about this at the top of the second hour. This is a good segue, Tim. Thanks so much for calling, my friend. Stay tuned and stay in touch.
All right, buddy.
He brought up the Republicans and Huckabee and this, that, and the other. Don't have enough time here in the waning moments of this hour to open up another can of worms. Stay with us through the break. When we come back at the top of the third hour, we're gonna get into some more things. I'm going to tell you why you should keep voting Republican, and I say that very disingenuously. Nathan Bedford Forrest is under attack again. Find out why in the third hour. Also take some more calls. Going to be a big third hour. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to end everything with a bang tonight. Winston got a minute left in this hour, though. Had some good calls.
We have. I was trying to get a word in about the CPAC conference that was just held.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Tim was talking about
Huckabee, and they did a straw poll, and Huckabee got like 3% of the vote. Ron Paul got over 30%. So, you know, that's something. I don't like many of the potential Republican candidates. I think Ron Paul is by far the most credible one. I have but one thing against him, and I'm sort of willing to overlook that. You know, the headliners of the Republican Party are just not polling well. Sarah Palin is plummeting. Pawlenty is plummeting. There is nobody out there who can really energize grassroots conservatives like us.
Winston Smith said it all, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break, go get a glass of water, wet our whistle, and come back for tonight's closing third hour. Stay tuned to the Political Cesspool Radio program. We'll be back in a flash.
Of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.